Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance on a football Friday in the midst of, well, everything. The National Football League transforming right before our eyes. One team can't find the deal it's looking for. Meanwhile, two other teams have made a deal in just the last few minutes that could be impactful. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
The Chargers trading six-time Pro Bowl receiver Keenan Allen to the Bears.
It makes the Bears obviously better, but it impacts so many teams, and it's going to probably shake up, you know, how we view the top 10 picks and the players projected to go now in every mock draft going forward.
All right, that was the big trade of yesterday, or one of many, and that's where we planned to start until, I don't know, about 7 minutes ago when we got another trade, and we keep Dan Graziano around, our insider extraordinaire, to dive into that and more. Hashtag crew is here, but not intact. Hembo is with us this morning. Cam is with us this morning. And we have a special guest who will join us in a few minutes as well as a member of the hashtag crew today. But Graziano, we start with you. For those who are just joining us here and have not yet heard, what's the trade we just got in the last few minutes?
It's all picks. The Vikings get the Texans' first round pick, which is pick number 23, and they get a seventh rounder. The Texans get the Vikings' second round pick, number 42, and they get a sixth rounder, and they get a second rounder next year. So the news item is that the Vikings now have two first round picks, and they're picking, what, 11 and now 23.
Right.
So if you're a team that's trying to move up in the first round of the draft for a quarterback, having two first round picks is a very helpful thing. So I think I would be watching the Vikings for further moves
here. Well, that's the only way to read this move, I think. And we got this news coincidentally right after I had just done a thing on Get Up about bridge quarterbacks. I had just said there were three teams that made quarterback moves that indicate they're definitely going to be drafting quarterbacks, or at least trying to. Those are the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Vikings. By signing Sam Darnold, I don't think anyone in the NFL looks at that and says, oh, so I've got Sam Darnold, so I'm good now. I think we expect them now to be in it, and Hembo, with this acquisition, we expect them to try and go up. Now, the question is, with 23 and 11, can you get all the way to three and try and get one of the big three, or are you looking at four or five?
You asked the right question. I have pulled up in front of me Jimmy Johnson's quite famous trade pick value chart.
Right.
When you add up numbers 11 and 23, the picks that the Vikings have now, and you look at just the value is 2010, 2010. That puts the total value of those two picks in between the third and fourth picks.
Oh.
Pick number three is worth $2,200, according to the chart. Pick number four is worth $1,800, according to the chart. And again, what the Vikings have in the first round are two picks that total $2,010.
So all you have to do is add another pick later in the draft to get to that $2,200 number, if that's what you... And the other thing is, like the Jimmy Johnson chart, obviously teams all have their own such charts.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so yeah.
But it
and
tracks.
The other part is you need to... Yeah. It's not just the numbers working, it's also a willing partner.
Right.
So if you're the Bears and you have 100% made up your mind you're taking a quarterback,
uh-huh.
and you're the Commanders and you have 100% made up your mind you're taking a quarterback, and you're the Patriots and you have 100% made up your mind that you need to take a quarterback, then whatever the chart says, you're probably not going to make the trade, right? You're still going to take the quarterback.
Yeah, probably. But if you're the Patriots at three, and let's say you only like two of these guys and they're the first two off the board, now all of a sudden, having picks 11 and 23 sounds better than having a quarterback you're not sure about with a third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when I see something like this, I wonder if it's already in motion, right? Like if the Vikings have already said to whatever team, hey, if we got this pick, would we be able to flip it? So I don't know that. I'm just saying, like, that's how
I'm
react.
No, I'm with you. But what I'm saying is that team the Chargers at five? Or is that team the Patriots at three?
I think it's tough to make a move up to five for a quarterback in a three or four quarterback first round, right? Like that's if the top three are the top three and J.J. McCarthy's knocking on that door, then you got to get to at least four if you want to make sure and get one of them. Because what if you get to five and then somebody else jumps you to get to four with Arizona?
That's the frightening part. Look, that J.J. McCarthy is becoming a fascinating
person. Yeah, teams
person.
Like him.
They love him.
Yeah. They do. Oh, sorry. I thought you were. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm.
No, he's a guy people were very interested in going into Indianapolis. And I think coming out of Indianapolis, he didn't do anything there to really hurt his stock. So we'll see how high he goes. There were people who tell you he can get into that top three group. Again, this is eye of the beholder with quarterback. So it's a matter of who thinks what. But if you're the Patriots and the Vikings want to come up to get J.J. McCarthy and you don't like J.J. McCarthy, then of course you would make a deal like that.
Can I give you a number on this?
Yeah.
So right now I am looking at ESPN Bet. And they offer, in the NFL prop section, the teams likeliest to draft J.J. McCarthy, independent of at which pick he's drafted. The team likeliest to draft J.J. McCarthy, according to ESPN Bet, is?
The New York Giants?
The Giants have the second best odds at 3-1.
Is it the Vikings?
It's the Vikings at plus 140. There's a pretty big difference between the two.
Are they factoring in then?
Within the last 15 minutes? Like, I don't understand.
These are live odds.
Yeah.
These are live odds.
Where were they a half hour ago before that trade?
I don't happen to know. I'm guessing it's a pretty similar number, but there's a chance that the football world was expecting the Vikings to do something like this in order to get J.J. McCarthy, not expecting him to be there at 11.
The two teams I've heard most closely tied to the possibility of moving up in the first round are the Vikings and the Raiders. And obviously this is a move that helps the Vikings, you know, with additional picks that would help them make such a move.
Right. Those are the three teams that I mentioned. The Vikings, the Raiders, and the Patriots.
Right.
Teams that made moves that suggest we're not done with our quarterback situation yet.
Right. But they have guys that they could play if they need to. Right. Exactly. If their and other plans don't work out. Right. Right.
Gardner Minshew may very well be the starter in Vegas this year, and which I actually think is a good thing to do as you draft a rookie quarterback and let him develop and let him start playing week 6, 7, 8, whatever the case may be. I think history has shown, generally speaking, that is a good strategy. So I think getting a Gardner Minshew, getting a Jacoby Brissett, getting people like that, that's a smart thing to do to act exactly as the bridge. That's what the bridge quarterback was invented for.
I'm looking at a pretty unimpressive list here of all of the instances in which a team moved up into the top 2, 3, or 4 to draft a quarterback ever. The list is Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, RG3, and Ryan Leaf. Now, you can go through almost any list of highly drafted quarterbacks and see some unimpressive names, but that is an uninspiring group to compare whomever the Vikings might draft should they move up to 2, 3, or 4.
That's the thing. So, like a lot of those situations, teams were going up just to be in the top 2 or 3 because there were 2 or 3 guys they liked.
Right.
Like, that's different from, like, we know who we're taking and we're going up to get that picked so we can make sure.
What I'm suggesting is that we may be overdrafting people, like we often do.
Obviously, but I mean, the Vikings are bound and determined to figure out their long-term quarterback situation, and this feels like the draft where there's an opportunity to do that, at least by, and I agree with your point, they're not all going to turn out great, but if you're all in on a guy, then you go up and get him because you don't know when you're going to have a chance again.
I continue to be fascinated by the possibilities of the Vikings trading Justin Jefferson. So Jefferson is the best. I mean, he might be the best player in the whole NFL. I mean, if he's not, he's right in that conversation, right?
Kansas City quarterback is good. You know,
fair enough.
Yeah.
But the difference between, okay, fair enough. You're right. I shouldn't have said Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. Justin Jefferson is one of the better players in the NFL. Let me make a strong declarative statement about that. And his value is extraordinary. But I know we live in a world now.
Yeah.
Where receivers, we think that you have to get the great receiver and all that kind of stuff. The much maligned Evan Cohen's quarterback list made one good point. So Evan Cohen had this list of like quarterback rules, and it was so elementary that we made fun of it.
It was pre-elementary.
Well, one of the things he said was find a quarterback who outplays his contract. And I said, oh, yeah, well, that's ingenious. Where did you come up with that? Who could have ever thought of that? But the one point that he did make was don't pay receivers to make your quarterback better.
Right.
Pay the quarterback to make the receivers better, which is to say, if you don't have good quarterback play or if you have questions at quarterback, does it really make sense to spend $30 million a year on a receiver, no matter how good he is?
Well, that's the conundrum that teams are dealing with these high-end receivers, right? Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, guys like that we thought might get extensions last year and didn't, still don't have them. And, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit has been talking about an extension. We were told at the combine that was close. That hadn't happened. T. Higgins obviously can't get one in Cincinnati. So with all these guys coming out in the draft every year, the question is, how high do you want to push? If CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson are both looking for more than $30 million a year, is that the way to go if you're these teams? And if not, then you start looking at a situation much like with Carolina with the edge rusher and Burns. They didn't want to pay him at that level. They traded him to the Giants, who did. So that's where they are. But I don't to the point of Justin Jefferson, I have been told unequivocally that they do not plan to trade Justin Jefferson, that they want him on a team, they plan to extend him. If you do a 4 or 5 year extension with Justin Jefferson right now, and you draft a rookie quarterback, then you don't have to pay the quarterback till Jefferson's contract's almost over.
Right.
So you're basically taking your quarterback money and paying it to a receiver, and then when the time comes where hopefully your drafted quarterback has played well enough that he needs a big extension, then you're moving on to something else at receiver. So I think that's the thought. You can allocate those resources any way you want. Look at the 49ers are loaded with guys that are being paid at the top of the market for their position. They're paying their quarterback $900,000. So, like, that gives you some leeway, and I think if you're the Vikings and you do have a rookie quarterback you feel good about, then that makes it easier to pay Justin Jefferson.
But they also don't have – the other thing the 49ers don't have is anyone else besides McCaffrey who was paid at the top of their position, right? I mean, Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and George Kittle. Is he – how much is
– What's Debo? Well, maybe not after what happened 2 years ago.
Nick Bosa's up there too, though.
Nick Bosa's the highest paid defensive edge rusher. Trent Williams, the highest paid left tackle, one of them.
So they do have it.
Fred Warner is one of the highest paid linebackers, if not the highest.
So they have, because I wonder. Yeah. Here's what I sometimes think, and look, like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. I wonder if the way to put together a great football team is to have 7 great players. Mm. Or to have 25 good ones. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you can go one of two ways. And I always feel like it is at least safer to try and have 25 good ones, because the risk of injury is so close to 100%.
Right.
That the idea that you're depending your entire season, except for the quarterbacks who they do everything they can to protect, unless it's Patrick Mahomes, like I would be afraid to make Nick Bosa, no matter how good he is, the highest paid player at his position, because on every single play, people are falling near his knees.
Right.
Literally every play. You just need one person to fall 6 inches further to the left, and he's out for the rest of the season. That's what scares me.
So there are very few teams that have accomplished as much as the 49ers have the last few years that have also lost as many seasons to injury as the 49ers have. Yeah. I mean, when they've bottomed out under Kyle Shanahan, it's because everybody got hurt. So they've lived that. They still adopt that first model you're talking about, the 7 great players, and pay them. But if you're going to do that, you got to draft your tail off. Mm-hmm. And not just find guys that can contribute at a high level while they're on rookie deals, but also build depth. And they've managed to do that. But that's the idea, right? Like, we're going to get difference makers at critical positions. They lucked out with the quarterback, right? Because they made a move up to get Trey Lance. It didn't work out. And then they find Purdy with the last pick in the draft. So that's a lucky break that probably enabled them to give another contract. Maybe if they had been paying a quarterback at the top of the market, they couldn't do the Nick Bosa deal, but instead they can. So that the trick is the rest of that roster. Trent Williams, a great left tackle. They have not had a great offensive line otherwise. They need to find guards and centers that can play at something like that level for a lot cheaper. And they're doing a good job, obviously. They were in the Super Bowl. They've been to 3 straight NFC Championship games, or 3 out of 4. Anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, 3 straight.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and 2 out of 4 or 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah, so they're obviously doing a good job. It works for
them. They have made both one of the top 3 or 4 best draft picks of all time and one of the bottom 3 or 4 worst draft picks of all time in that stretch of time. Taking Trey Lance 3rd is the kind of thing that should set your franchise back forever.
Yes.
Unless you hit on an excellent quarterback with the very last pick in the draft. It's incredible.
It's incredible
what they did there. Yeah, he changed everything. All right, very quickly, because this is what I really wanted to spend most of this conversation on. Where are we with Justin Fields?
Nowhere. Like, they're still asking for more than teams are willing to give up, so teams are moving on and trading for guys like Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell instead because the prices are right, and the league just does not view him as a starting quarterback right now, and the Bears have I don't know if they misread the market or if they're being stubborn or what it is, but they're still asking for a lot more than teams are willing to give up, And as a result, he has not been traded. And they're in a situation now where they have to decide, do we wait till the draft and see if somebody's situation, you know, doesn't come together the way they hoped? And maybe there's a new market for Justin Fields that isn't there now. Or do we do it now, cut ties, let him move on, do right by him, and take less than we think he's worth?
I'll be fascinated to see what they wind up doing. Greeny, coming to you live from the Seaport, we're brought to you by Chase. And our friends at AutoZone ask us to pick a team that has been in the zone during this first week of free agency. Who should we say was in the zone? Who had the best week of anybody? What team? Who do we think?
I like Houston. I think Houston's done a lot of good stuff, given their circumstance around a young quarterback. That
we
looks great.
The Texans have been in the zone during this first week of free agency. Get in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Graziano, have a great weekend. You are the best. We will introduce a special guest to the hashtag crew coming up next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast. This is Greeny.
I see a potential upside in Justin Fields. Coaches are so arrogant, they will say, are you kidding? With my coaching, I can make that guy into the greatest player of all time. I can't believe no one is looking at the lump of clay that is Fields and saying, I can mold him into a really good player.
This is Greeny.
Yeah, that's what they're singing in Chicago, and nobody's joining in on the chorus. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll welcome a special guest into the proceedings in 30 seconds after this word from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So you've heard from hashtag Hembo today. Hashtag Cam is with us as well this morning. And because Bubba is off today, making a very special return today. And the always honorary member of the hashtag crew, the one, the only, hashtag Liam, is with us this morning. Good morning, Liam.
Morning, Greeny. Good to be here. Hi, Hembo.
Hello, hello.
Why are you doing that? He speaks with a slight British accent because he is British.
Mm-hmm.
You go into this ridiculous Cockney, like you're trying to channel Eliza Doolittle from Pygmalion.
Doolittle.
Just stop.
Sounds like Bert from Mary Poppins.
You don't have any idea.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
You have literally no idea how annoying that sounds. It does not sound like what you think it sounds like. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to tell you what it sounds like, but it's not what you think it sounds like. Okay, anyway, Liam, it is good to have you back. I trust you're all excited for another UConn run in the NCAA tournament.
Big time, baby. I want them to do the treble. I'm using English terminology. I want they won the Big East, they won the league. I want them to win the Big East tournament, and then I won the NCAA. I want the treble back to back. Let's go.
Are you saying the treble?
Oh, yeah. A soccer term for you.
I was about to say,
a music term.
Yeah, is it like the treble clef? Like, is treble an expression I've heard? Should I know what that means?
You said it correctly, treble clef.
Last year, I mean, not to bore everybody, last year Man City won the treble. They won the league, they won the Champions League, and they won the FA Cup. In England, that's the treble. So I'm bringing it over here. I want UConn to do the treble.
Well, so one tip, by the way, for young aspiring broadcasters out there, anything that you are moved to preface by saying not to bore everyone out there, you might want to keep to yourself. You might want to just sort of email that one in at another time, because that was probably a pretty good signal that it's not where we wanted to go. That said, it is a delight to have Liam with us today. And as I want to dive in to the Justin Fields situation from a variety of different directions, because it is, to me, the most interesting thing I've seen happen in the NFL in a really long time. What are your odds of getting a really, really, really good quarterback when you draft one?
Less than 50-50.
Okay.
Even in the first round, it's less than 50-50.
So, and let's say roughly 50%. Right.
If you draft a quarterback in round one, the hit rate's going to be a tick under 50%. But for the purposes of shorthand, we can say 50.
So let's call it 50%. So are you better off having one of those or having two of those? What I'm saying is the idea that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams cannot coexist, cannot both be on the same roster, cannot both be in the same quarterback room when this goes on at every other position on the football field. Every single year, and we don't pay any attention to it, there's a guy who's penciled in to be the starting left tackle. And then the team goes out there and they draft a left tackle. And you know what they don't do? They don't cut the other left tackle, certainly not unless they have to. They're both on the team and they compete for the job. And one of them wins it and the other one is expected to still bust his behind every single day and work as hard as he can and be ready when called upon. Now, I understand that this is different. But what I am saying is, you don't run any successful business by giving away assets for far less than they are worth. If you trade Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick the way Mac Jones was, then you are just doing him a favor. And while I'm all for doing him a favor, I don't know how it makes the Bears any better. They have something that is more valuable than that in the person of Justin Fields. And I will just remind all of the Bears fans who might be listening to this conversation that once upon a time, my favorite team, the Jets, did someone a solid and it bit them directly in the behind. When the Jets acquired Brett Favre in August of 2008, I think it was, they had longtime quarterback Chad Pennington there. And he, of course, wasn't going to be the starter anymore. He had been a great pro. He had been a great teammate. He had been a great citizen of the organization. And so, because he is a mensch, Mike Tannenbaum and the Jets decided to just give him his outright release. Rather than trading him for something which they certainly could have of value, they decided, you know what, Chad, you've been so good to the organization for so long, we're going to let you choose where you go. And you know where he went? He went to Miami in the same division in which the Jets play. And he won Comeback Player of the Year. And in the last game of the season, he beat the Jets to win the division and make the playoffs. The Dolphins, with Chad, made the playoffs that year. And the Jets, with Favre, did not. And so the point is, being a good guy can sometimes bite you right in a spot you don't want to get bit. So what I'm saying is, I don't think the Bears just giving Justin Fields away right now for someone who just wants to, you know, is just waiting you out and we'll throw you a fifth round pick. I'm not sure that's the best thing to do. But I'm also not crazy. I mean, of course I see the other side. So I'm not exactly sure if I were sitting in the seat that Ryan Poles is sitting in right now, I'm not sure what I would do.
The best argument to trade Justin Fields now for 50 cents on the dollar is an emotional one. And I don't like emotional arguments. The emotional argument is such that, oh, these guys, you know, Caleb Williams and Justin Fields in this case, they can't possibly coexist. It would ruin our quarterback room. It would be far too toxic. Imagine what they would say on the radio in Chicago. Who cares? Who cares? These guys have competed their whole lives. Justin Fields went to Georgia, got beat out by Jake Fromm, had to transfer. Caleb Williams went to Oklahoma. They benched Spencer Rattler. He took over and became good. Like, these actual people not that long ago, competed for quarterback jobs, and it didn't ruin them. Like you said, every other position group in the whole league, every other one, makes their players win the starting jobs. Quarterback is the only position in all of sports that we anoint. We just anoint quarterbacks, and it's not obvious to me that we must. Of course you shouldn't trade Justin Fields for 50 cents on the dollar to do him a solid or to do right by him. If you have an opportunity to trade him for 100 cents on the dollar, you should. And if you can't, you should have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams or whomever you draft high on the roster competing for the job this summer.
I would also say, and I think it was Cam who put this in here, let's just use Caleb Williams as the straw man in this conversation. Is he walking into the best situation that any number one overall quarterback has ever been drafted into? The Bears have DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen after the trade last night, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett. They have a draft pick, a first-round tackle they drafted last year who is a star in the making, who can be the cornerstone of what should be a good offensive line. They have a defense that, because no one was paying attention, no one noticed, it was actually elite the second half of last season. They've added players to that. They've taken advantage of the inexpensive quarterback to pay those players, namely Montez Sweat and some others. So that could be a team that could win right now. I would posit maybe with Justin Fields. Like, maybe you draft the quarterback, but your intention is to play Fields until you don't want to anymore, which is to say until the rookie is so obviously ready that you have to put him on the field or Justin doesn't perform. But there's a real scenario here. And look, I'm old enough to remember when Carson Palmer was the first pick in the draft. He never got on the field in Cincinnati, not because he wasn't ready, but because John Kitna was winning games. They were winning games that year in Cincinnati, and they didn't want to stop winning them. Maybe they win games with Justin Fields.
So you're suggesting I should not be hypersensitive to Caleb Williams' feelings or Justin Fields' feelings? Well, I've been told that's super important here.
You have to be sensitive to it for the following reason. It's not so much the feelings as it is the psyche. There is a psychological element to being the quarterback that does not exist, I think, in any other positions. And if you are, and I'm going to talk out of the other side of my mouth now, this is the opposite of what I just said. If you draft Caleb Williams number one overall, then the most important thing you can do is develop him into an excellent quarterback. And if you feel that for whatever reason, first of all, not having him get the exact amount of work that you want him to have because someone else is getting it. See, so if your other quarterback is, I'm just making up a name here, Andy Dalton, then you can give Andy Dalton exactly as many reps as you don't need to give to the rookie, and Dalton will be ready no matter what. But if you're going to play someone like Justin Fields, he's going to have to get the bulk, the starting quarterback share of the work, which might slow the development of the guy that you're bringing in. And then there's the psychological component. Like, a quarterback needs to take control of everything. Like, the quarterback ultimately needs to be the center of everything.
Does he?
I think that the examples of successful quarterbacks who were not that way are very few and far between. I'm not saying there have been none, but I don't think that it is certainly the exception, not the rule. And so the point is, if you've got Justin, who I think it's clear the other guys on that team like him a lot, if he's still there and he's playing well and or whatever happens and they bench him and they go to the rookie, and now, you know, everyone knows DJ Moore really wants Justin Fields to be playing. A lot of the guys want him to be, and the fans are chanting for it, and they're chanting for his name when Caleb throws an interception. I mean, we cannot discount the impact that can have on a person's psyche. It's not their emotion, it's their psyche.
I agree with that, and I like what you said. I am just highly skeptical of this quarterback machine that we have created. The idea that we have to draft our guy, anoint him as our guy, and we're going to do everything in our power to make sure he remains the guy. Like, there's so many facets to building a good football team and sustaining it over a long period of time. And while the quarterback is probably the most important one, it certainly isn't the only one. And also, when you put every single egg into a basket, sometimes the basket falls. We are then operating under the assumption here that Caleb Williams or whomever they might draft or they might like in the draft is going to be super good, is going to be better than Justin Fields. I don't necessarily like assuming anything about quarterbacks because we have so many decades of evidence that says we don't actually know what these guys are. So if you already have a quarterback in house that has like legitimate stud NFL traits, who has flashed great, and I have the first pick in the draft, I think the best way to solve that problem is to attack it with volume and let the two of those people figure it out amongst themselves.
It would be the road less traveled. But I understand the thinking behind it, and I don't discount it right off the top of my head. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. And so let me come to you on this thing, Cam. If you are the general manager of the Bears right now, maybe you've overvalued the asset that you have. Maybe you are just being waited out by people who know that you are between a rock and a hard place. What do you do?
It's tough because I don't think having them on the roster for a period of time could risk stunting either of their developments, but I think at a certain point it might. So if you get too far into the season and one guy is showing flashes, the other guy is showing flashes, eventually you obviously do have to make a decision. What do you do when Justin Fields is playing well, Caleb Williams is sitting there, we drafted this guy to be the next coming, and then you're like, wait, maybe we have something here.
Best case scenario, Cam. That's what we call best case scenario. Are you telling me that Justin Fields playing well and Caleb Williams sitting, learning the offense, ingratiating himself to the NFL is somehow a bad thing?
It's not, but then do you want to keep Justin Fields? If that's the case, why would you move on from a guy if everything's clicking in an offense that is a lot better? I don't think that that's necessarily what's going to happen, but he certainly would be in a better position, Fields himself, to succeed this year than he has been in the past few years. Obviously, Caleb Williams would be as well if he's walking into this situation, but yes, it's great to have two quarterbacks that are playing well, but eventually you got to pick one, and if you draft one and play the other, you might be in a tough situation.
I understand that, but Liam, what Cam is basically saying is it is a bit of a problem to have two quarterbacks you like, and that's true, but it is a much bigger problem to have none.
Right.
So I would rather, Liam, if it's me, I would rather maximize my chance. Again, I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I'm making all the arguments for keeping Fields, but I actually wouldn't have the courage to do it. But I can make the rational argument to do it, and the rational argument is very simply, I'd much rather deal, Liam, with having two quarterbacks I like and figuring that out than not having one at all.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage is obviously if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But I think in this case, keep them both. Someone will get injured, and then you can trade Fields, and you can keep the guy you drafted. I mean, you guys have said it. If Caleb Williams walks into this team, he's walking into one of the best situations the number one picks probably ever had.
I like the way he says drafted, don't you?
Drafted?
If you hosted it, it would be great. Like, could you imagine if... welcome to ESPN's coverage of the draft. I'm Liam. I'm Liam. I liked everything you said.
But it's just Liam drinking draft beer the entire yes. night. That would be a great show.
Mel, what you got?
This lad ran a 4.440.
And I drank four with him.
Attaboy.
That is well played. All right, so we got Liam back with us here today. He's going to get a chance to play trivia, which we will do here. I got some J.J. Redick stuff that I'm dying to get in today. Much more football as we go. But come on, Liam, come on along for the ride. Hembo, what do we got today?
We've got group trivia. I am looking at three lists. By yardage, the Bears' leading passer, the Bears' leading rusher, and the Bears' leading receiver in a single season. So you are going to give me all three. Chicago's single season leader in passing, rushing, and receiving. I need all three from you.
Next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Ha! I like the music choice. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options An easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. All right, we'll do it quickly today. The group trivia, go.
I'm looking at three lists. By yardage, the Chicago Bears' leading passer, leading rusher, and leading receiver in a single season. You are going to give me all three.
Okay, so we talked it through during the break, and here's where we landed. I have to believe the rusher is Walter Payton. Gale Sayers had great seasons for the Bears, but they played fewer games than guys like Neil Anderson had good years. But I remember when that year that Walter almost broke O.J. Simpson's single season rushing record, which was 2,003 yards, a record that lasted a really long time. Walter came very close to breaking that. I don't think any other Bears running back got to 1,800 yards. So we're going to say Walter Payton is the rushing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
1,852 yards in 1977.
Okay, yeah. I sort of remember O.J. Simpson doing a bit on Saturday Night Live about it. All right, Cam, so we got that one. We feel good about Cutler at quarterback, right?
Yes.
I mean, the Bears' last great, really great quarterback was Sid Luckman, and that was when they ran the T formation, and the forward pass was sort of a novel concept.
Yeah. Cutler's throwing for like 4,000 yards a couple times, and I don't think they've had anyone else that reached that volume.
Jim McMahon had very good years with the Bears, but he got hurt a lot.
And so he didn't throw that
He would have missed a lot of games, and yes, he was on those teams with Walter, so they would have been heavy running it. Guys like Eric Kramer, Jim Harbaugh, Rex Grossman, Steve Walsh, just can't come up with a better option. Kyle Orton?
No, it's Cutler.
We're going to go with Jay Cutler.
That's wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Jay Cutler is second, third, fourth, and fifth on this list. But in 1995, Eric Kramer.
Oh,
it was Kramer.
Threw for 3,838 yards, most in the history of the Chicago Bears.
I didn't even consider
Can I
that.
Give you a list of one person who covered that team?
You?
Yes, that's me. I did. I covered that team that year.
Oh, that's all my fault. I never
It is your fault.
Him.
I said Kramer, and you said, I'm 100% sure. Is the receiver Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Two, three.
I thought Marshall was the sneaky one, not Kramer.
I mean, the other receivers they've had were guys like Willie Galton, Dennis McKinnon, and Curtis Conway. I mean, I couldn't even think of guys.
The only other one I thought of was Alshon Jeffrey and DJ Moore this past season.
Yeah, those are two more of the top four.
Oh,
so
Eric Kramer.
You guys got that one right, Kramer. But Eric Kramer still Kramer. Sitting on the board.
Boy, that's brutal. All right, we should have gotten that one right. NCAA tournament going on as we speak. NBA action going on as we speak. Bucks host the Suns. We'll have that game for you Sunday on most of these ESPN radio stations presented by Indeed. Meanwhile, I'm really looking forward to getting into this conversation.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
So this soundbite was brought to my attention sort of late in our morning, and I made sure that we got Big Perk on to talk about it on Get Up, and I think it's really good. So J.J. Redick, you don't need me to tell you who J.J. Redick is, and his podcast, The Old Man and the Three, he's become one of the most interesting, insightful, provocative, and just generally excellent broadcasters, in the basketball space. Because he's incredibly smart and he's incredibly knowledgeable. And that's having been a great player himself for so long. So it's a lethal combination. And he had a very interesting take on his podcast about Kevin Durant and about the way Durant is perceived and about the way he is discussed. And I find it very interesting. I happen to disagree. Let me play it for you here. This is what JJ said.
We're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the did we spend all this time with all the bull discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game? He's literally one of the greatest players ever. And we spend too much time on the bull instead of just appreciating his night to night greatness.
So that's, I understand the take. I understand the point that he's making, that we spend too much time thinking about what he isn't or what he hasn't done and not enough time marveling at how generally excellent he has been. I don't agree with that perception, and I'll tell you why. I think Kevin Durant is fully appreciated as one of the best players ever. I don't think anyone who knows anything about basketball doesn't think that he is on some list, the top 25 best players ever, 20 best player, wherever you want to net it out in there somewhere. We gave him a number in our book, and in our first book, Got Your Number, we gave him his jersey number, and we actually wrote, or I wrote, it is my belief that there has never actually been a person at the simple act of putting the ball in the basket who was better at it than Kevin Durant, considering his size, his range, and everything else. I think he is as good a scorer as I have ever seen and as has ever lived. So all that is a given. But to whom that much is given, everything in the world is expected. So the conversation changes with guys like that. Kevin Durant should not be compared to the other better players of his time. If that's how we're doing it, then yeah. He is a historically greater player than Kawhi Leonard. He is a historically greater player than Joel Embiid. He is a historical, I mean, who, name the other, you know, better players that we've seen in the NBA over the last decade or whatever it's been. But that's not how he's being measured. Kevin Durant is so good that we do measure him against ghosts. If you want to measure him against LeBron and Steph and Michael and Kareem and Kobe and Magic and Bird, then that's the price. That's the ticket. That's the ante to get into the game. You've got to stand up to all that scrutiny. Your entire resume is going to be dissected nonstop. People find flaws with Larry Bird. Mostly people who didn't watch him play. But people will tell you all these things that Larry Bird wasn't. People will tell you all these things that Kobe Bryant didn't do. People will tell you, these are the greatest of the great. So that is the way Durant is judged. That is the way he's viewed. And those things are very clear and obviously on display on his resume. It's inescapable. So I don't agree that we're going to look back on it someday and view him more favorably. I actually think history, as it stands now, is going to be less friendly to Kevin Durant rather than more. Now, the only caveat to that is his story's not been written. He's not done. He could win a championship in Phoenix. He could do it this year. If he does that and he leads the way and he's the MVP and he has a monster playoff, well, then all of this is subject to change. Everyone's resume is not complete until it is complete. So his career is not complete. Neither is LeBron's, neither is Steph's, and those are the competition. But I would say for a player of his talent and his excellence, the things that you can legitimately question about him are more evident than is the case with many of the other players of his historical magnitude. And I think that will grow, not diminish, as time goes by.
Yeah, I don't have any strong disagreement with what you said. Last year, the NBA put out its top 75 players to commemorate its 75th anniversary. And at ESPN.com, we ranked them all. And we had Kevin Durant 12th. At that point, we had Steph 16th. I think at this juncture, you'd probably say that Kevin Durant, quite slayfully, is the, at worst, third greatest player of his era, behind LeBron, who some, like myself, consider the best player of all time. And Steph, who is, in my judgment, the most influential basketball player of all time because of how he played. But Kevin Durant's career, I think, is actually a commentary on how many things are outside a person's control, a player's control. Kevin Durant had the opportunity to win a few different championships and a few different with a few different chances, and just got clipped. Like in one case, against the 73-win Warriors team that won three games in a row against him. In one case,
You're giving him a pass.
I'm giving him a pass for losing to the greatest team of all time.
I'm giving him a pass for having them dead to rights, being up 3-1, having that game six in his own building. Go back and look at his numbers.
The numbers. I've rewatched the game.
That's the game you win.
And you're proving J.J. Redick's point, that you're pointing to one out of 1,000 games when you're talking about Kevin Durant.
Those are the ones that matter. I mean, with Michael Jordan, we point to those. He won all of them.
No, he didn't. He won the ones that he won. He won all the ones that he won.
Go back and find me the game that Michael Jordan's team needed to win that he played like that. That he played the way Kevin Durant played in that game.
Well, LeBron has that game too. He has that series too.
Yeah, he does. That's why those of us who put Michael Jordan ahead of LeBron James do. Because in the biggest games, even the ones his teams didn't win, Michael Jordan was the best player on the floor. You and I both love the stat. Michael Jordan led every postseason series in which he ever participated in scoring except one. and it was the very first one he ever played in, and the leading scorer was Terry Cummings.
That's a great stat.
Michael Jordan was never not the best player when it mattered most.
Okay, so KD is not Michael Jordan.
That's correct.
And if that's the worst thing you can say about a guy, it's pretty good.
But we're both saying the same thing. He is a great player. I have much more to say about this. Let's pause on it briefly. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.